Okay, so I'm here with Dr. Clydesdale, and I'm recording you. Are you okay with this?
That's fine.
Okay, great.
Thanks for having me.
So, the first question I want to ask, I noticed that you also had concentrated on religion.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you think, a lot of these artists that we're looking at, they started in their church.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think being in a church affects how someone sees themselves and what kind of group they put themselves in?
Well, I think someone who grows up in the church, I mean, one of the things that churches or religious groups are generally good at is giving young people kind of an early platform, moving them into kind of leadership, giving them opportunities to serve, then moving them into leadership. And so for musicians in particular, because music is so important to so many religions, it's a great way to kind of get youth, get children involved early, and then when they start to show promise, then they tend to really get groomed even more. So they have lots of chances, basically, to perform, lots of chances to practice, lots of chances to perform, lots of appreciative audience members, which then kind of really locks in this identity because people will come up and really thank someone for the music that they're doing. So all those are important kind of formative experiences.
So you think it also builds kind of a confidence in self of who they are and...
Well, I think it builds confidence in self, and I think it also brings confidence in a sense of, you know, that they have these gifts, these skills given to them by divinity, by the divine for to be used. And so they also kind of gain a sense of, you know, even kind of being blessed with a gift and therefore having a responsibility to kind of use it. So I think that's a fact.
Okay. So do you think that has a big effect when an adolescent is in their teen years and they're trying to find themselves, trying to find where they fit in with like a group of friends, maybe something like that? Do you think that has a big effect on them?
Well, I mean, it certainly can. If they have a peer group that's also a part of the religion that they're a part of, then very much so. Then that's a way in which they kind of differentiate themselves and yet still have a connection to other peers. They could potentially have a peer group that has no connection to the house of worship that they're a part of, in which case then it's kind of, well, it may or may not have an influence on their friendships in that case.
Okay. And is there anything else you think really stands out when someone's trying to find themselves in a subculture, in a group, trying to place themselves in society? Do you think there's anything else that's really paramount in that process?
About the subgroups and subcultures. I think the other thing that's just really important is that you gain mentors, you gain supporters, you gain people who can offer you advice and encouragement. You gain people too who kind of say, maybe that wasn't so good this time, or maybe you need to practice a little bit more before you do that, or, oh, I know someone who's a great voice teacher, or I know someone who's a great keyboardist, and you gain this network that's real important. And so that social capital can be very useful.
Okay. So how important do you think it is when looking at subcultures that the subculture someone identifies with, whether it be the race or their hobby that they like put themselves into a group with, how important do you think that is on how they see themselves and how they present themselves to other people?
Well, I mean, kind of a fundamental fundamental article of the assumption of sociology is that we seek the approval of others. It may not be all others, but we seek approval. We seek social approval from other people. We're social creatures. So if you're part of a group that affirms who you are, I mean, it really ends up kind of shaping your own understanding of yourself. When people see you in certain ways and they respond to you that way and they praise you for certain skills, talents, that actually creates in you that identity even more. So that would be, I think, a really important factor.
So if someone was still young, 14 to 16, and somewhat impressionable, and they become more well-known, like these people were on television, touring, and they get this stage persona, they can kind of adapt it and start becoming a different person because of that attention?
I don't know if it's because of the attention. I think what starts happening then is the support-based shifts. So they may they may be more distant from that original sort of launching community, and consequently now they find themselves around another community which may be more just materialistically driven. So they want to see this person do well, they want to see sales continue, and so they're maybe not as much a genuine community as they are a little bit more a self-interested community. And so then they may push the performer to do things that they think are going to bring more sales, more kind of keep their career steady, maybe help their career grow even more. So it's a little bit different because you start out with a more organic community and then you move to one that may not be quite as organic or necessarily as healthy, that kind of may push an artist to do things. Or you can find plays in which, you know, you do find a new community that really encourages more creativity, more expression, and then it's healthy. So they can be arranged, but I think as you move from one smaller social world to a bigger one, you still end up with a support community and how that's shaping it.
Do you think that might cause a rift in, like, behavior between what group they're hanging out with or who they're associated with?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, because that's the nature of social life today is we're so fragmented. And we can be one person in one group, one person in another, and very rarely does anyone see you in one role, right? So you're in the role of a student right now, so I'm seeing that role. I will never see you most likely in the role with your family. I will never see you in a role with your friends, right? Your friends won't see you necessarily with your family. They won't see you as a student. And so there's this way in which we can be so different in these different places sometimes. And then you start to reflect on, well, then who am I, right? We almost become too easily conform ourselves to the expectations of different groups, and we start asking that question.
Okay, so that's where the whole idea of a stage persona kind of comes from, that feeling you need to present yourself differently to another group of people rather than your friends that you're...
Yeah. It could be just a sense of, you know, what it is that people are looking for. I'm sure this is shaped too as people become, you know, better known. They're shaped by people who have helped them become better known, and so they have clear ideas about what this persona is and why people are interested in them based on their own kind of experience in that marketplace. So they start kind of really telling the person that they have some credibility and authority that's going to be formative.
Right, okay. I understand. So they might be trying to fit a role depending on... Okay, so that might be affected by, say, a manager or whoever they've come across.
Right.
Okay.
Manager, record producer, tour promoter.
So... do you think it would have any effect, like, if they were older before they became so famous? If they were maybe in their 20s already, or mid-20s or early 30s before they became famous, as compared to 14?
I think certainly, yeah. I think if someone becomes famous older, they've gotten more, ideally, more wisdom, a little more life experience, a little more savviness, maybe a little bit less naive about people. And that helps them kind of, you know, read other situations. And they're also more kind of starting to sell in on their identity, too, at that point. So someone who becomes famous in their late 20s has already kind of done an awful lot of maturing and kind of settling in a number of identity issues. They're not likely to shift powerfully as compared to someone who might be 18, even. There's ways in which you're still much more open and adaptable at that point.
And we talked a lot in this class about the Trenton School District.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you got your BA in 86.
Mm-hmm.
So you grew up around Trenton, a pretty good time for this.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of musicians that came from Trenton at a certain point, and we think it's because of the school system at the time. It had a good musical program.
Okay.
So we also kind of noticed a rift in some people were really pushed towards music,
mm-hmm.
and they did well, and some people were told not to do it, never to go near music because it was not good for them. They were going to start playing music that was not, didn't look good at the time. Maybe like jazz music wasn't exactly a good music of the time, and they also succeeded.
Okay.
So how do you think the education system and encouragement from people like teachers affects a student and how they would do in a subject?
I think it can be very helpful, but The interesting thing is, that's just one data point, and it's interesting how many times, sometimes the more creative, the really creative types don't always do well in a traditional school setting. So they sometimes find themselves kind of, you know, laughing at the ways in which the teachers didn't think very highly of them and saw the rebelliousness but didn't see the creativity, for example. So I think teachers can certainly offer some encouragement. I think the discouragement doesn't necessarily have to be determinative on a person. It sounds to me, I mean, I don't know much about the Trent music scene and who became successful and who didn't, but it sounds to me like there just was a reasonably good amount of social capital related to music in Trenton, and then connections to the national stage by, in particular, the location so close to New York City might have been particularly strong. There's some ways in which that was another part of the factor here. So it could have been that music teachers were connected into that social capital. They may not have been. I don't really know. But it sounds like there was some way in which there were people in that were connected to the Trenton music scene, that were connected to the national music scene, and that I was facilitating something going on.
Okay. And is there anything else you want to add about the music scene in Trenton from when you were younger? What music you listened to or knew was looked down upon? Or?
Oh, boy, I don't. No, I can't. I really don't know the music scene in Trenton. So, I mean, I grew up near it, but I don't really, I'm not really familiar with it.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I think that's all my questions. So. Okay. Thank you so much for your time.